Joshua. And while you're turning, let me say this. What an honor it has been for my son and I to have been here in your church, around your church family for the past couple of days. We have literally been treated like royalty. I know that you guys are the ones graduating, and you're supposed to be the ones that are being celebrated, but my son and I, we have been treated like royalty. And I want to say this real quick, and I'm going to get into the message, and then I'm going to get out of the way, okay? But I want to tell you something, Calvary Baptist Church. I want you to listen to me and listen to me well. You need to pray for your preacher. He is the epitome definition of a pastor. Now, there are a lot of preachers that are put over churches, but there are very few pastors. And you have one here at Calvary Baptist Church. Amen? I mean, yeah. Give him a round of it. Give him a hand. Amen? I get to travel and I get to go to places, and I've seen a lot of preachers that are under shepherds of flock, but it's rare that you get to spend time with a true pastor and a pastor's wife like I've got to do over the past couple of days. And you can tell when a man is making a difference in the we didn't go anywhere. We drive 30 miles down the road and everybody there knows who he is. We go in a restaurant, everybody knows who he is. People coming up to him while we were eating lunch today, knowing who he is. And you say, well, that's because he's a celebrity. To you, he ought to be a celebrity, amen? And you ought to pray for him, and you ought to lift him up. And listen, you fight for him. Hey, come on now. You fight for him. And man, what an honor it's been to be here. Thank you. Thank you so much for the birthday gift today. Man, I opened that in the room and had a shouting time on it. And so I'm thankful. Graduates, we're honored to be here on your special night. And congratulations for everything God has done for you up until this point. And let's go ahead and give him a little bit of praise on what he's going to do from tonight forward. Amen. And so I'm thankful for that. Joshua chapter number 7. I'm interested in one verse. I rarely preach in this method, but feel that this is the way that God would lead me tonight. I'm interested in one verse that we'll pull out of the text, and then we'll go back in the scriptures and we'll fill in the gaps in just a moment. If you know anything about the book of Joshua chapter number 7, we find the situation that they are in Joshua chapter 7 verse number 1. It says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan." Now we find immediately when the chapter opens that the children of God knew better, and they did, but they did not listen to the man of God, and they went and did and changed the rules. Now I want to say this right up front. It's not part of my message, but it'll help you, okay? I believe what Brother Robbie said. You ought to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and you need to support the man of God. And I want to tell you this, not everybody can be the pastor. Can I get an amen right there? And so God gives you an under-shepherd, and so you listen to him, and we find out what happens when people go contradictory to the Word of God. And the Bible tells us in verse number 2, "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, and they chased them from about the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads." I'm interested in verse number 7 tonight. The Bible said, "And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us?" Now, I want you, if you write in your Bible, at Landmark, we call this a Crayola mark. We have crayons in our seat, and you can highlight with crayons. And so here's my message tonight, not just to the graduates, but and not just necessarily to Calvary Baptist Church, but every born-again child of God that's under the sound of my voice, I want you to look what Joshua said. He said, "Would to God we'd been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." I want to preach to you for just a few moments tonight on this subject, the dangers of becoming content. The dangers of becoming content. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for your word. I'm glad, Lord, that it's not just red and black ink on white paper, but it's the true living word of God. We're thankful, Lord, for what our hearts have already felt tonight, the truth that has already been sung. Lord, for the way that your name has been lifted up. And Lord, we just come to you now in this part of the service. I'm honored to be here, but I'm nothing. I pray that I'd get real, real small and you'd get real, real big. God, I pray that you would do for your people what they and nor myself nor the pastor can do for them. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you tell us in your word that if we'll lift you up, Lord, you would draw all men nigh unto you. And it's not our job to draw tonight, Lord. It's just our job to lift you up. And Lord, there may be somebody here tonight just by chance. It's, Lord, under the sound of my voice that does not have a personal relationship with you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as the old-timey preachers would pray, for old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. I pray, Lord, that the flames of hell would meet them in their seat where they are right now. And God, I pray that you would deal with their heart. There may be someone in here tonight, Lord, that has grown cold and indifferent towards you. And Lord, there may just be, Lord, in a church, Lord, with a crowd this size, there may just be somebody here tonight, Lord, that is looking and in their heart have already decided to be content in their walk with you. But Lord, we commit this service to you. Let everything that's said, thought, and done be to uplift your name. And we're going to thank you and praise you in advance for what you're going to do. In the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody in the church house said, amen and amen. Many of you know already by what I've said, I have three children. I have Grayson, my son, and I have Emily. She's in high school. And I have Sadie, and my Sadie is in middle school. And I am a very competitive person. I'm one of those kind of people that I don't believe in everybody getting a trophy. I do believe in somebody being a loser. And I've just brought up that way. If you grew up in the hills of where I was in South Carolina, there was always a winner and there was always a loser. Somebody say amen. We don't give away participation trophies up in Pickens, South Carolina. And I've always brought my kids up, even when they were small, whether it was a game of checkers or whether it was playing on the PlayStation or whether we were playing soccer out in the backyard or whether we were doing Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader with lightsabers in the bedroom. I always fought and I always played with the intent of winning. And no matter how young they were, man, I would beat them down like borrowed mules at the fair, and they'd go running back to their room, and they'd squall, and they would cry, and my wife would come to me, and she would say, "You don't need to do that to them kids. They're small. They're going to get their feelings hurt." And I'd say, "Honey, there's going to come a day when their daddy's going to get old and fat, and they're going to be young and strong, and they're going to beat me worse than I beat them. And let me just go ahead and say that day has already come." But man, I've always taught my kids, don't ever be content in what you have. Now here's what I mean by being content. I believe that God blesses us way more than we deserve to be blessed. Can I get amen right there? And I believe that there are things in our life that we ought to be satisfied with. But I also believe that in our Christian daily walk with the Lord, we should never be satisfied where we are and where we end up at the end of every day. You say, "Preacher, do you have scripture for that?" I sure do. Paul got up every day and he strived and he said, "I pressed toward the mark." It was a athletic competition that he would do within himself. And so as you graduates tonight, as you graduated and you have met this milestone in your life, and for you preachers that have also completed that part of your schooling, don't be content where you are. The question now is not to sit down and say, "Man, I sure am glad that this happened and I can check this off." But what your heart ought to be tonight is, "Okay, Lord, we want to thank you for allowing us to reach this point in our life, but what do you have next for us, Lord? What do you have next for me, Lord?" And as a church, as a family, may we never get to the point to where we just sit down and settle in our Christian walk and in our daily walk where we need to be. Joshua chapter number 7, as he is the leader of the children of Israel. And there had been several accomplishments that God had allowed them to do. And now we find the leader that is sitting in ashes and he's saying these words. He says, "I would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." Now I want you, if you would, to flip just a couple of pages back to Joshua chapter number 4. You'll find in Joshua chapter number 4, Joshua chapter number 3, they're crossing over the Jordan River. And so if you'll allow me tonight for a few moments, I'm going to allow this side of the room to be on the other side of the Jordan River. Everybody on this side of the room, we're going to be where Joshua is in chapter number 7. See, and not only was it a physical thing that took place, but we have this in the Word of God to remind us of the spiritual application of what had taken place. See, at the end of chapter number 3, the children of Israel have crossed over Jordan. So everything that took place in chapter number 4, chapter number 5, chapter number 6, and chapter number 7 has happened on this side of the Jordan River. But we find, preacher, where Joshua says, I would to God that I had never crossed over and experienced those things that I got to live to tell about. The first thing I want you to pay attention to is the danger of being content. You'll find in chapter number 4, down in verse number 6, the Bible says, as the children of Israel crossed over, Joshua went to each person of the 12 tribes, and he told them to put a stone upon their shoulder and to come and to put it in the Jordan River. And we find in chapter number 4, verse number 6, the Bible says, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it was passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off. And look what the Bible said. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So if you're taking notes tonight, the first thing I want you to put down is when you get content, you miss out on memorials or memories of God doing miraculous things in your life. I was talking to the preacher yesterday. He was giving me a tour of the facilities, and he was telling me about the Bible college and everything that you have gone through. Not 1 year, not 2 years, but 3 years. You come in on a weekly basis. You've done a whole lot of reading. You've done a whole lot of work. And man, tonight we get to celebrate with you because you have now reached a memorial in your life that you have accomplished this. But what had happened if at year one or year two or even just as far back as 6 months ago, you had said, you know what, I'm content with where I am. I've already learned enough. That diploma doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Walking and being in my cap and gown, I'm just content to where I am. Friend, can I just challenge you tonight? Church, can I challenge you tonight? Never be content on what God wants to do with your life. See, many times we get on up in age, and here's what we'll do. Well, I'll just sit back and I'll just cruise now, and I'll let the younger people do it. Friend, I want to tell you that as long as you have air in your lungs and your heart is beating, God has a job for you to do. Amen. I'm not asking you if you agree. I'm just saying, do you understand my preaching tonight? Now, if we get content on the Lord, there'll be memorials that we'll never get to experience. I know this is very childish, and I shouldn't be preaching this way to a bunch of graduates, but understand, had they stayed on this side of the Jordan, there would have never been memorials. Man, I've loved coming to church here. I just want to load all y'all up and take y'all up to Landmark Baptist Church. I got to hear testimony. I got to hear Chicken Man. Where's the chicken coop man? I'm sorry, I don't know his name. Tell me your name, brother.
Jackson.
Old brother Jackson, chicken coop man. Right before church, he just started telling me. He said, let me tell you what God did in my life, preacher. And man, we got to sharing, and he got to telling about how God had saved him. And even though he'd gotten out of the will of God for so many years, that God put him under conviction, cleaned his life up. He rededicated his life to the Lord. He went through the Bible college. Now he's standing in church, and he's singing on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. And I'm glad that when he or his wife or the people that prayed for him never got content on where he was. Amen. And so you must understand tonight that the dangers of being content is there'll be memorials or memories you won't be able to experience. Number two, I want you to look later on in the chapter what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in chapter number 5, I believe it is, or chapter number 6, chapter number 5, verse number 13. Not only one of the dangers of being content is there'll be no memories or memorials, but notice what the Bible says in chapter number 5, verse number 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Not only if we get and stay content where we are now, not only, Brother Dalton, will we not see and have memories of God doing something, but friend, we'll miss manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know I'm in a Baptist church tonight, and I know talking about the Holy Spirit having His way makes a lot of Baptists nervous, but I want to tell you that I still like going to church. I still like letting the Holy Spirit breathe through. I like it every now and then when I get a big old case of the can't help it, and I'm sitting there and something bubbles up inside of me, and I may not do it the way you do it, or I may not do it the way the old timers do it, but there's something inside of me that'll go, woo! You know what that is? That's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Man, I got thinking about them songs that they were singing. I have a testimony. My dad wasn't a drunk. My dad was a wonderful Christian man. My mom was a wonderful Christian lady. I was brought up in church my whole life. But I just got, I got in the motions. I got in doing the things that I was doing. I knew when to raise my hand. I knew when to say amen. I knew when to cry. I knew when to talk right. I knew when it was okay not to talk right. But I want to tell you that on a Thursday night in a youth revival at Mount Sinai Baptist Church in Pickens, South Carolina, old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction came straight to the pew that I was at, nailed me and drug me to a place called Calvary, realized that the only hope that I had was in the blood that Jesus Christ shed at a place called Calvary. And friend, I am thankful for that manifestation, but it would have never happened had I stayed on this side and been content.
That's right.
Brother, I wonder when we get to heaven, how many things are we going to miss because we were content where we are? Many of you here tonight have made decisions in your life. And man, as graduates, man, my hat's off to you. I commend you. I'm honored to be part of your night. But as I said a minute ago, don't be content where you are now. Move on forward. Let God make memories with you. And then let God make manifestations with you. I told my son, I said, man, I know we're 6 hours away, but we got to get back down here to church sometime and have church with Brother Robbie. I told Brother Robbie at lunch today, and this is meant as a compliment, brother. I told him and the first lady over here, I told her, I said, you want me to tell you what I noticed about church when I pulled on the property at Calvary Baptist Church? Your people just like to come to church, amen? Man, it's just about going to church. I don't care if you think about this. I don't care if my mascara is running. I don't care if I offend you. I just like going to church. And church, can I commend you tonight on the fact of knowing this? Never be content where you are. Always say, God, what's next? Amen. Not only if you stay on that side of Jordan, he wouldn't have had any memorials or any memories. But if he'd stayed on that side of Jordan, he'd never come face to face with the angel of the Lord, which was a pre-picture of Jesus Christ. He would have missed that. Think about coming back over here, Brother Robbie, and just sitting over here on this side of Jordan and never being able to have the memorials. I love that part of the memorials because it said, why are they there? They weren't for the people that had already gone. Preacher, they were there for the children and the grandchildren of the people that were already gone. Hey, think about that, amen. We trap fish up the house. And man, we don't do none of that fly fishing stuff, sir. We just do Zebco 33 and some corn. Somebody say amen. And a good old red worm. And man, I can see as those fathers later on, brother, they'd walk back down there to the creek bank and they'd see a pile of rocks. And they would say, what's that pile of rocks there, Papa? And Papa would say, well, I'm glad you asked. I was a young man whenever we came across, and let me tell you what God did. Sit down here, boy. I've been waiting on you to get old enough to tell you what had happened. And he got to tell them about how God opened the Jordan River up, and they walked across on dry land. But that would have never even been a story had Joshua stayed content on the other side. See, the danger of staying content, friend, is this. You'll miss memories and memorials God will do in your life. When you stay content, you'll miss manifestation. And I'm not talking about just in church. I don't know about you, but I like it when the Lord climbs up in the cab of my Ford F-150 truck. Somebody say amen. This man at my church told me, he said, brother, that ain't Jesus because he wouldn't ride in a Ford. Somebody say amen. But I like going down the road. I like listening to There Was Jesus. Amen. I like listening to nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'll switch from there was Jesus, Dolly Parton singing, to Peg McCamey singing God on the Mountain, and shout the same through every bit of it, amen. And man, I'm thankful that God can show up anywhere and everywhere that we have a desire for Him to be. But I want to tell you that if you get content, guys, not only will you miss memorials or memories you can share with your family, not only will you miss manifestations, but I want you to know this, if you get content, you'll miss miracles of God. Look what the Bible says. I love this part. I learned it as a kid in chapter number 6. The Bible says in verse number 20 of chapter number 6, it says, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. See, friend, when you get content on God, you'll miss memories that you can share with your family. Not only when you get content on God, friend, you'll miss manifestations. I'm talking about the real deal. I'm talking about times when God gets so big inside of you, all you can do is just sit and weep with your head down. Hey, anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever had any of them times? You get content on God, and there'll be times that you'll miss manifestation. But I will also tell you this. You get content on God, preacher, and there'll be miracles that you'll miss out on. There'll be miracles. You say, preacher, do you still believe in miracles? Friend, if you knew what I was prior to July 2, 1991 on that Thursday night, and you've seen what God has done for me since He saved my soul, you'd believe in a miracle too, amen? Right, amen. I've done enough since I've been saved to be in hell. Somebody help me right there. Amen. But man, the miracle of the grace of God. Man, I love this story. I learned this as a young child. My Sunday school teacher was Katie Chapman. And Miss Katie Chapman would take that clip art, preacher. You know how they'd take that black flannel and they'd do that clip art. And every now and then we'd get to draw our name out once a month. And when we draw our name out, we'd get to say, what story do you want Miss Katie to put on the black velvet or the cloth? And she knew if she drew Gary's name out, she just didn't even look. She would say, I know, want Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. That was my favorite. And man, I loved that as a kid, and I would want to help, and I'd get to be the one to put Joshua up there, and then I'd get to put the one up there. She had a big old I can't remember what I ate yesterday, but ain't it amazing what you can remember that far back? I had that big old piece of ocean that was on there, and she'd read out that Bible, and man, I just couldn't wait till she'd get to that part, because at that certain part, I'd get to pull that solid piece of ocean off of there, and then she had two pieces that she'd put up, and there was a little cutout of a whole bunch of people, and Joshua was leading them like this, and we got to put him right in the middle. And man, even though I didn't know the Lord, I knew enough about it that there'd something bubble up inside of me, and I would want to go, amen, but I didn't want to do it because I was little and didn't know how. See, when you get content, friend, you'll miss out on the memorials. You'll miss out. I don't want to call anybody out. I want to use this for an illustration if I can. Brother Robbie, I can come off here, can't I? I want to use this as an illustration if I can. I don't think it'll cause anything. I don't know many of you. But, preacher, I saw your family over here when they caught wind side of you coming down that aisle. I take that that's your boy over there and your daughter-in-law and your kids. I watched you, sir. I watched y'all whenever you caught a glimpse of your daddy. The whole place could have stopped, and I knew you was his boy. Your head got about that big. Your chest went out. I assume that's your wife. She was grinning from ear to ear. I guess that's your kids, grandkids. That's your papaw. Man, they were grinning, and they were just looking around. And I was sitting right there. And I was thinking, glory be to God, preacher. You didn't get content. And as you walk down the aisle tonight, your family over there proud. Going, that's my papaw. That's my pa-in-law. That's my dad. See, what if you'd gotten content, friend? If you'd gotten content, think about, Dalton, can you help me a minute? If you get content, you'll forget all about those memorials that God has for you. Don't let your ministry or what God wants to use you for, let it end tonight. determine tonight in the closing prayer and say this, God, with your help, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. And just say this, not because that preacher said it, but because the Word of God said it. Lord, I'm not going to be content on where I am. God, I'm ready tonight to take the first step in faith and you to lead me wherever you need to lead me. Not only do you have those, but you have those manifestations. I remember when I was in school, and I'd be like, what's the use of this? I'll never use this. Who cares if so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so? Can somebody help me right there? I'd be like, what's that? I don't need that. But man, then the Holy Spirit would say, just read one more verse. Just go one more chapter. And man, I'd read down through there, ma'am, and there'd something bubble up in me. And it'd be the Holy Spirit says that I have that in there. You're going to need that one day. You're going to need that one day. And not only do you need to pray for you not to be content tonight because of the memorials and be not to be content because of the manifestations, but you need to pray that God won't let you be content because we still serve a miracle working God. I said we still serve a miracle working God. I know that tears your Baptist nerves up, but we still serve a miracle working God. Amen? Amen. Can I share this story before I end, Brother Robbie? I got called to Landmark Baptist Church. Landmark Baptist Church up in Easley, South Carolina. And the first time I went to preach there, there was 11 people there. And 5 of them got out of my car. Now you can imagine this was probably 12, 13 years ago, so I was younger and more energetic then than I am now. And I preached, and I won't bore you with the story, but God ended up leading me to Landmark Baptist Church. Now, I'd been a pastor not long. I'm talking about just weeks. And I got a call from the deacon, chairman of the deacon board. He said, "Preacher, the air conditioner in the sanctuary has gone out." And it was, I don't know, 200-300 degrees up in upstate South Carolina that week. And I said, What am I going to do? We didn't have no money. You're talking about a rookie. I didn't know what to do. And the chairman of the deacon board, he said, "Preacher, what do you want me to do?" And I said, "I was trying to be spiritual, ma'am, because I knew that's what my papa would do." And I said, "Why don't you meet me up at the church and we'll pray about it?" Driving all the way up the church, I was like, "Lord, what am I going to do?" I about got the chairman of the deacon board's about, I will see him in 5 minutes, I'll see him in 4 minutes, I'm seeing him in 3 minutes. Oh, Lord, he's already in the parking lot. Oh, Lord, I'm pulling in. What am I supposed to tell him? And I got out of the truck, and he's sitting there, and he's looking at me, Brother Tim. And Brother Tim said, "Preacher, what are we going to do?" And I said, "We're going to pray about it." What I'm telling you is the truth with my hand to the Bible. I said, "Brother Tim, how much money do we need to put them windows in?" He said, "We need $5,377. And he said, "Preacher, if we put them windows in right now, we got the $77. All I knew to do, preacher, all I knew to do was what I'd been taught back in them memorials and in them manifestations up to this point. I just got down and I started praying. I ain't never asked God for no vinyl replacement windows before. But the man said, "If you don't get them windows replaced, putting a new unit in here is going to be useless." Now what I'm about to tell you is the honest truth. We got down and we started praying, and when we started praying, I didn't know what to do. I just like, "God, here's all I did, sir. I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be smart. All I need to do was like, God, we need windows. God, we need windows. God, we need windows. That's all I need to do." And man, while I was praying, God, Holy Spirit broke my heart, and then I started weeping. And I said, "Lord, I don't need windows as much as I need you. I don't need windows as much as I need you. God, you called me to this church. We got $81 in the bank." And this man says this. But I started going back to those memorials, those stones that my Papaw and my mom and dad and the preachers that I'd sat under. I started going back to every one of them, and in my mind I started going, I remember that time when that happened, and I remember that time when that happened. I remember that time when that happened. I remember a time my dad fell off a house painting, and he was all messed up, and my mom got sick and she couldn't work. And I remember as a young kid going in my bedroom, my mom and dad sending me to my bedroom, and them getting in the kitchen floor and praying for God to send groceries in because we didn't have nothing to eat. And I remember praying as a young child, didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And all I know is as my mom and my dad were praying, somebody at the door. My dad said, son, get the door. And I went to the door. Do y'all know what poundings are? Do y'all do them around here? Some of you new age people don't know what they are. But a pounding is when the people in the church bring a whole bunch of groceries to your house. And I never forget opening that front door, man. And there was 5 pickup truck loads of groceries. And I got to thinking about that memorial, what God had done. And I said, God, if you bring groceries to a house, I know you put windows in this church. Right while I'm praying, my phone started ringing. It was a number that I didn't recognize, and it was ringing, and I hit end. Rang again, I hit end. Rang again, I hit end. Rang again, I hit end. Finally, I stopped, and I was real spiritual. You can tell my spirit was right, ma'am. I snatched that phone up, and I said, I don't know who you are, but I'm trying to pray. Real spiritual. And I hit end. You know what happened? Started ringing again. And I picked up the phone, and there was a real feeble voice on the other end. She said, is this Preacher Gary? I said, yes, ma'am, it is. She said, are you at the church? I said, yes, ma'am, trying to get a little praying done. She said, well, we don't go to your church, and we don't really know a whole lot about it, but could you step out on the front porch of the church? I said, yes, ma'am, I will. And I looked at Brother Tim, and I said, I got to go out here and handle something. You keep praying. You remember how they was praying for Peter to get out of jail? And I walked out there, and there was a lady. They was parked right there in front of the steps, and I walked down the steps, and her husband was sitting there, and he was so feeble, he couldn't hardly pick his head up. She said, Preacher, I don't know a whole lot about you, and I don't know a whole lot about Landmark Baptist Church. Now, this was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She said, at 6 a.m. this morning, me and my husband was in our prayer time, and God wrote up, told us to write a check to Landmark Baptist Church. And she said, it's an odd amount. She said, we didn't know where the amount come from, but we prayed about it. And we wrote it to the amount the Holy Spirit told us to write it to. I didn't even have to look at it. I'm trying to land this plane, Brother Robbie. But I reached and I got that check out of their hand, and when I did, that feeble man had cancer. He reached up there and he told me, he said, I don't know you, preacher, but you always remember this. God's never going to forget about you. As long as you continue pushing forward for the gospel. I walked back through that door. I came through the back door, preacher, and I got on my face and I crawled the whole aisle of that church. Who am I that would question a God that he couldn't give me enough money to put windows in my church? I was trying to tell Brother Tim what was going on. He said, Brother Gary, how much is a check for? I said, I'm not even going to look. Call the man and tell him to bring the windows. You probably know the rest of the story. It was two. We got to keep our $77. Let me say that. To the penny. You say, preacher, why you share stories like that, preacher? We here for a graduation. I share stories like that with you guys because you've come too far to be content. Throw the towel in now. Too many late nights. Too many times of wanting to quit. too many times of people, the devil mainly telling you you couldn't do it.
That's right.
And I challenge you tonight. Don't ever be content on what God's got planned for you. Because He didn't bring you this far to leave you.
Amen.
Church, can I say this? God's using you in this community to be a lighthouse to lost men and lost women, hurting men and hurting women. In Calvary Baptist Church, can I challenge you tonight? I know it's for the graduates, but can I challenge you tonight and tell you this? As a church, don't ever be content. You keep going with God. You keep following the man of God. And as long as he stays in the book and he follows the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter if he wants to paint the walls green. You get a brush and tell him, let's do it. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a part of Calvary Baptist Church and you're not a graduate. If you're here tonight, friend, and you're born, washed in the blood of Jesus, I'm not talking about a religion, I'm talking about a relationship. You've been born again. You know your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Friend, it is not time to get content. I believe with everything inside of me. I am married the most beautiful woman. She's my Miss Universe. She's at church right now with my daughter, my youngest daughter. My oldest daughter's gone to camp, my youngest daughter. And I left the house giving her a kiss on the lips saying, if the Lord comes back before I get here, I'll see you in heaven. I'm that confident that the Lord's coming back. And I'm that confident that I'm going when He comes back. And if you're here tonight and you're saved and maybe you've gotten content on the Lord, Brother Robbie, I'm sorry. Maybe you've gotten content on the Lord. Maybe you wondered, what's the use? Let tonight be the night that you cross that Jordan in your life. And let God start making memories with you, memorials with you. Let Him start manifesting Himself to you like He used to do. And let Him start working miracles in your life like He used to do. You might be here tonight and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Friend, there's not a better day for you to get born again than right now.
Amen.
Jesus Christ died on a cross just for you. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Preacher, I don't know you. I'm a guest in this church, but there's something in here telling me that what you're telling me is true. Then in just a moment, when we bow your head and close your eyes and the pastor gets up, why don't you make your way to the altar? Let us take a copy of the Word of God, even if it's electronic, and show you how to be born again. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, preacher, thank you.
What a challenge. Seen it many times. I've seen many Christians get content end up allowing the devil start telling them lies. Tonight I don't want to be content. Maybe some of you that are here, some of our folks from our church, maybe you need to get around the altar tonight. Maybe you found yourself during the sermon becoming content where you are. Let us push forward. Let us continue. Graduates, you're welcome to come to the altar as well. But as we bow our heads tonight, with no one looking around, I want to ask you something. Are you content where you are right now with the Lord? Are you content in your salvation? The scary thing is most individuals, they couldn't take you back to a place where they got saved. They couldn't take you back to a time when they got saved. They're going off of what mama said or dad said or some experience they had, an emotional experience in church. The question I want to ask you tonight is, if you were to die sitting in that chair, do you know where you'd spend eternity? I believe you know. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I believe that. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 13. If you don't know where you'd spend eternity tonight, I want you to do me just a small favor. I want you to look right up at me. Make eye contact with me. Is there anybody in here? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. Say, preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity. I want you to look right up at me. Make eye contact. I won't embarrass you or send anybody to you. Is there anybody like that in our services tonight? I see it. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. You can close your eyes and put your head down. Is there anybody else? Be honest with this preacher. Thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. It's not what I'm trying to do. I just want to know how to end the service and how to pray for you. Is there anybody else? Be honest with this preacher. Say, preacher, I do not know. Say everything Brother Gary preached on tonight, those memorials, those manifestations, and those miracles. You can probably go through this whole building and hear those same stories, how God has done, outdone himself in our lives. But the common denominator in all of that is there was a time in our life where we trusted Christ as our personal Savior. Tonight is your opportunity. You may be here for a graduation, but God has a greater purpose in your life than a graduation. Tonight, if you'll allow it, if you'll allow me, I'll take a Bible and I'll show you how to be saved. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the Word of God. I won't tell you what the denomination says. I won't tell you what the rule book says. I'll take you in the Bible and show you what God says that you have to do to be saved. So simple that a child can do it. If you'll allow me to do that tonight, and you looked up at me and you'll allow me to help you tonight, I want you to get up out of your seat and come right here where I'm at. It's your choice. It's your decision. I still won't embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out or send anybody to you. It's your choice. I walked that same aisle. I need some help, Brother Scott. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Help us right here, Brother Scott. Is anybody else? Your choice, your decision. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else? Praise the Lord. Brother Sheldon, grab your Bible for me if you will. Anybody else we can help? Wouldn't it be a wonderful night if you left out of here and laid your head down on a pillow knowing that if you were to die, that you'd wake up in the presence of Jesus Christ? Won't embarrass you. The Bible teaches that there's the Holy Spirit draws, and if He's not doing the work, then if He can't do the work, I certainly can't. So I ain't pushing you, I'm just giving you an opportunity. I believe in an invitation to give somebody an opportunity to be saved. I believe in that because that's how I got saved. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You tonight. God, I thank You, Lord, for the message tonight. What a blessing. An on-time message. For our graduating class and for those that are attending. Lord, let us not be content. Become content with where we're at. But, Lord, may we press toward that mark. God, I want to do so much more for You. Lord, I want to see, Lord, as we sat and had lunch today and we shared the different things that, Lord, You've done in our ministries. Lord, it was so exciting talking about those memorials, those manifestations, those miracles. God, I'd love to see more. I'd love to see You do more. God, I pray that the desire of every person in this church is to grow spiritually, to go further with You, to have those memorials, those memories, to experience those manifestations, Lord, and to see those miracles. God, help us, Lord, to press on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.